Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the HDXT AfriCast. My name is Clinton. Joining me today, Brendan.
Hello.
And Lungi.
Hello, hello.
Not Nick, which means no talk of his fast internet or his aircon or the Warcraft movie.
he's going to listen to this and he's going to give you grief next week.
This is actually a test to see if he listens, because then he'll send me an angry IM afterwards. Sorry about the podcast being late, everybody. Long weekend and stuff
got away. Yeah, we had to go to some meeting or something, you know.
Anyway, hope everybody had a good long weekend. I did
some
nothing.
Some people are still on long weekend. Oh,
Nick. Yeah. Nick again.
Extra long weekend.
And then if you miss that next week, you can take Friday off maybe if your company doesn't give that off.
Yeah.
Do we get that off?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Dream on. Dream on.
Anyway, we're going to have a quick podcast this week just to get back into the swing of things. I'm going to go first with a game I'm playing called Crawl. Now, okay. Crawl, I first saw 2 years ago. It's been in early access for 2 years.
What? Why so long?
I don't know. It's very strange. It's a very strange game to describe. It is a dungeon crawler with beat-em-up gameplay. But it's also roguelike or roguelite, whatever you want to call it. But it's also a party game.
What?
And it's also a multiplayer game, but only local. And it's
That's
only
really
one
interesting.
Screen. It's a weird mix of games. So the premise of the game is this. There's one player who will be the quote-unquote hero, who's the person who's alive, the adventurer, going down into a dungeon. And you fight monsters and you level up and you get better and everything. And the other players are ghosts. And ghosts can do a lot in the environment. They can take over a trap and try get you with it. They can go into a treasure chest and turn it into a mimic. But the main way they try and kill the human player is by going to these little summoning stones and becoming monsters.
Okay.
And it goes back and forth and it goes back and forth until one of the monsters kills the human. And then they swap. And the person who is the human now is a ghost. And then the human player now goes on and kills the monsters.
Okay.
So you do that for a while. Every time the human levels up, the ghosts level up, and then there's lots of checks and balances in play that I won't get into now, that whenever the human player gets strong, the ghosts will get strong, the monsters.
Okay.
And it's actually balanced really well. I think maybe the reason it was in early access for so long was to balance that stuff.
Okay.
And also I think the studio is really small, which is why it took so long. And then you go down levels, and when you finish a level, you get to use the stuff that you've saved up, which is called Wrath, and you use that to level up your monsters. And there's a really cool, I would say, evolution system in there, because like you start as a skeleton, and then you become a flaming archer skeleton, and then you can become like a necro.
A flaming electric skeleton.
Well, I don't know if that's in there, but the one I remember after that is like a wizard skeleton.
Okay.
And then there's these really cool things. There's some which don't make any sense. Like you can be a tadpole monster, and then if you put in enough points, you become a dragon.
All dragons start out as tadpoles. It's biological factors.
Some of them don't make sense, but others do. Like you'll start off as this strange bull creature, and then you'll become like a minotaur, and then a bigger minotaur, and like a bigger minotaur.
A bigger minotaur?
Yeah. It's got great art. It's pixel art, but it looks great. It reminds me a lot of Nidhogg. Did you play that?
Nope.
Nidhogg's another local multiplayer, only one screen game. It's got very similar graphics. Sound design's awesome. It's got a cool voiceover guy doing the narration of certain parts.
Yeah.
Because they don't bill it as a party game, but I really do feel like it's a party game. The reason I say that is that a run can be from 10 minutes to an hour.
Okay.
The ultimate goal of every run is to defeat a boss.
Yeah.
But every player only, all the players combined, I should say, only get 3 chances to beat the boss. So if you get killed by the boss 3 times, then the person with the highest score wins.
Okay.
So yeah, it's
It sounds like a good fun party game, especially with like runs that are can be short or really long.
Yeah.
Because I mean, like, I just know from having games nights with my friends, like, yeah, sure, Mortal Kombat is fun for a couple of hours, but then after that, it's kind of like, okay, yeah, well, I'm bored of this now, and I'm sick of winning and beating all my friends.
A problem with Mortal Kombat as well is, like, if you own the game and your friends don't, you're just going to wipe the floor with them and get angry at you. there's also a check and balance in Crawl against that. The combat isn't very precise.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is, in a normal beat-em-up, you have lanes, right?
Yeah.
It's not usually demarcated, but to hit someone, you need to be on the same lane.
Yeah.
In this game, you have directional attacks, and when you're using a joypad, you'd expect you point the thumbstick in a direction and you'd hit in that direction. Yeah. Or same thumbstick is also your movement.
Okay.
So you expect if I'm pressing upwards and I hit with the sword, it'll go upwards.
Yeah.
And sometimes it does. Sometimes it doesn't. A lot of the like magic spells, which are your power-ups, just fire randomly. A lot of the combat is just like loosey-goosey. And I think that's on purpose.
Okay. So even if you've been playing for like a good couple of 100 hours, you're not going to wipe the floor with your mates.
Yeah, and the combat's really simple. You have movement, you have basic attack, and then you have special attack. And then the special attack can be a dodge roll. It can be that you shoot a magic arrow. It can be that you you teleport around.
Is it different from character to character, or
no?
Everybody
has the same character. You get money while you play, and then you can use that in shops. All right. Yeah. So I like it for a few reasons. It's a good introduction to roguelikes.
Mm-hmm.
People who don't like Binding of Isaac or Into the Gungeon or Spelunky or whatever.
Yeah.
This is very different, so that might get them into it, because every 1 hour run is its own game. It's its own little experience. So if they had like, oh, I spent all the gold I was saving up on a bow and arrow, but then I find out I hate bow and arrows, then that's fine. You lost this round, just buy a sword next time.
Yeah.
Or like, I spent all my wrath upgrading to the big cool dragon because it looks so cool, but then the big cool dragon's not that fun to play.
Terrible.
Yeah. So it's really good as an introduction to roguelikes. It's really good as a party game, I think. The AI is really strange in terms of difficulty. Like, it will be really easy most of the game, but then the bosses will destroy you. But you can see there's a massive jump in difficulty, and it doesn't expect you to win. I don't know if I can recommend it to people who aren't going to bring people over to play. I've only been playing solo. All my friends are busy in university and work. They haven't had a chance to come over to play it. I'm having a lot of fun with it. The only problem is, I don't think there's that much content in the game. I think after about 4 or 5 one-hour runs, which I've had now, I haven't seen everything the game has, because there are unlocks.
Yeah.
But it's starting to get samey, I think.
Okay.
I'm really hoping that having real people there will make it better, and I'm sure it will, because, again, it's not labeled as a party game, but it really feels like one. So I'm just looking up on Steam. Another thing about this is it's not that expensive. It's $15, which will be on Steam if it ever loads.
Oh, South African internet lets us down once again.
It is 159 Rand.
That's not bad.
I don't know why it still says early access when it leaves early access. Anyway, it's not too bad. And if you bought it when it launched, I think it was close to like 109 Rand. So like, you could even, your friends could come to your house like, oh, what do you want to do? Do you want to spend 200 Rand going to a movie, or do you want to spend 160 bucks buying this game and then we can play it? And
that's
then you own the game forever.
Idea.
Yeah. So I have a full review. I've played, I think, enough of it to do the review, but I just want to have a few more games with real people.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've been waiting for this game for a long time. I didn't even know it was launching, because it kind of like went out of my mind.
Yeah.
And yeah, what you should do is just go look up a YouTube video to see the some of the mechanics, because I might not have explained them well. And also to see the art style. The art style is great.
And it's always good to just watch a YouTube video of a game that you're about to buy, even if it is only 160 bucks.
Yeah. So that's the game I'm reviewing this month. There should be another game coming soon, Bayonetta. Should have the PC version of that.
Man, I'm so amped for that.
Yeah, everyone says it's great, so I can't believe I missed that. It was really strange, because I owned a PS3 when it came out and when it was popular, like the PS3 heyday. And then it just, I forgot to get it. And then I bought a PC and I was like, I'm not going back to console. And then they released Bayonetta without any fanfare. One day it was just like, yeah,
Bayonetta's out. And apparently I was reading on Steam Spy that it sold, I think, like
100,000
copies in the first weekend. That's pretty good.
Really, it is. A lot of people saying, oh, that's not a lot. But I was like,
it's a very old game.
8 years old, I think, at this point. And people were like, oh, that's not a lot. It's like, it is a lot. And something they did, which Bulletstorm, which also re-released. Yeah. Bulletstorm is a free, full price $60 game.
Yeah.
And it's, I think, 4 years old, more than that, 5 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah.
Bayonetta is only, I think, $20, which is like $250. Yeah. So we'll have reviews on those soon. Lungi, yeah, you've been very quiet over there. What do you want to tell us about?
I have absolutely no knowledge of what you just talked about. It's very interesting.
There's like a glazed look over Lungiello's eyes.
Everyone should go
play.
Yes.
Crawl.
Yes.
There we go. From somebody who doesn't even play games, 100%. A recommendation.
Tell us something you do like, though.
Is I like exploring things, imagery on the internet. And so yesterday, let me just see if that's correct. Yes, yesterday, which was the 18th of April, it saw Google Earth. So, I mean, we're all used to Google Maps, right, if we're going to places. But if you go onto Google Maps and then you click on the Earth version, you just sort of get a satellite image view of whatever location you're looking for.
Or as I like to call it, how to get rid of data in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
I never thought it was that bad. I
don't know. I use Google Maps, you know, for driving or whatever, getting to places, but not Google Earth via mobile data.
It's
mobile data for data anything.
Yeah. So they've updated their Google's updated the whole tool, and it's really, really great. It's not your usual update. Oh, now we've added the ability for you to do these tiny little things that you won't really use on an everyday basis.
That nobody will ever use.
Right. This time they've added 3D imagery. So, for those of you who use Google Earth, you know that it's all in 2D.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can zoom in, you know, and it gives you a clearer view, but that's about where it ends. But now, with 3D viewing, you can switch your view and see 3D images of literally every single location that is on Google Earth.
Okay.
So a clear classic example is if you Google Earth, and then you type in Cape Town, for example, because it's a very scenic place. And then if you go to the bottom right hand corner of Google Earth, it has the 3D icon. You tap onto that, and it sort of just, you know, readjusts itself. And then you press and hold control, and you use your mouse to drag along down. And it literally readjusts to show you 3D imagery of Cape Town in this example. And it literally looks like a photo, like you're just looking at a 360-degree photo of Cape Town because you can move around.
So now it's easier to fake your holiday in Cape
Town. It's 3D imagery. You can go around, you know, you can go behind the mountain, in front of the mountain, Robben Island, zoom into the water.
Can you go onto the mountain?
No.
Can you go into the mountain?
So
Google,
really,
like, inside Earth view.
It really is quite amazing because, and if you go to other really scenic areas around the world, you know, places that are huge, major natural.
Sorry, Lungiello, I just want to stop you for a second. We really apologize for the soundtrack that you're hearing. There's a meeting happening in the room next door to us, and they seem to be doing something about America. Apologies if it's coming through.
I actually want to know why they're playing that song. What meeting is this? Flipping Michael Scott from The Office. They're like, oh, I've got to get pumped. Sorry, Lungi.
Carry on.
It's fine. So, where was I?
You're saying we couldn't go into the mountain?
No, we can't. Sorry.
Okay.
So, it really looks great. So maybe I may be hyping it up a bit much, but I'm just one of those people who really like looking at cool images. So, if you go to a really scenic, another scenic location around the world, you know, maybe you go to South America or somewhere in Europe where there's snow mountains, it really looks amazing. So, and what it also has a number of features that allow you to explore.
Yeah.
So, you don't really, it's not really left up to you to know where to go. If you really just want to be surprised, you can enter use one of the features called, you remember I'm Feeding Lucky?
Yeah.
So you have that in Google Earth 3D, and it takes you to wherever. It's a random selection of about 20,000 locations that are have already been added there. So it takes you wherever around the world, then you land up there and you get to explore. And yeah, man, it looks really, really great. Of course, as you said, about the whole data thing, it's best to use it on desktop and with Wi-Fi, because you know 3D imagery does
use a lot of data.
It's more than 2D, you know. And you can,
there's a whole extra D there that you got to account for.
A whole one.
It's another plane, I think.
So yeah, if you're into mapping or 3D imagery, or you're just looking for something to explore on the internet, go and check out Google Earth. And like I said, you just go to Google Earth as you would on the web version, not the downloaded version.
Oh, so not the app. Have to go through a browser.
So either, if you're using mobile or desktop, you have to just go to Google Earth on online and just use them and access it via that way. So you go to the bottom right hand corner, there's a 3D icon there, click on it, press and hold control and drag your mouse and let exploring happen.
So
really awesome.
I want to ask you something about this. So Google Street View and everything was done with autonomous cars. Do you know how they captured the images for this?
It's quite technical, but of course it was in-house, but it took them, let me just see if they explain. They don't really explain much about the technicalities behind it. But what I'm guessing that they used in this case satellites to do this, because I mean, if you check on the image on our article on the website, it's like a bird's eye view of Cape Town, so you can literally see the whole mountain, the whole city, and the ocean. So I mean, you can't really get any vehicle or individual up there.
Well, I thought maybe it would have been drones, but it's like I don't think they flew drones all over the world.
I think it's satellites. They use satellites to do that, because it's really, you can go as high, really, really high into the sky, or really, really low, or really far into maybe the ocean if you're near coastal area. So I don't think they use the ordinary tools they use for street view, and that's just impossible.
This is strange, because I just looked up like Sandton City, the big popular thing over here, and it loaded in a lot like a video game. Like it loaded in basic
textures.
It loaded in the polygons, and then it did textures.
Yep.
So I think what they did
is create a map and then take photos and
I think they just
rendered.
I don't know the correct terminology here, but I think they took pictures and turned those into texture maps and then applied them to what's it called? The topography.
Yeah.
I don't think
it'll be really interesting.
That's fine. Yeah, we should. Because I thought it was just that they took composite pictures, but looking at this now, it looks very CG. Or maybe the CG, like look here, if you look at these cars, I don't know if this is like a rendering problem, or this is just the compositing software that they use
to make
this look strange.
Because you can see some of the, what I used was, what one of the places that I searched for was the Johannesburg CBD.
Yeah.
And of course, all those tall buildings.
Yeah.
So because it takes quite a while to really clear up, it takes about 30 seconds to a minute or so. Once it's done, you can't really, it's not very distinct. So not every building is like, okay, that's that building. Some of them are still a bit not blurry per se, but they're not, you know, as vivid as maybe the next building next to it, or building a few blocks from it. So like what Clinton's saying is that it's really hard to tell what they used, because it looks like a photo, like a proper photo, but you can see that some of the stuff
is just not lining up.
Yeah, the shape isn't really loading 100%. It's like, still very curved or a bit blurry, you know?
Yeah, like the statue of Nelson Mandela looks like a piece of Stonehenge.
Exactly.
Like it's just like that's the statue of Nelson Mandela. Yeah, so
it's really cool otherwise, though. I mean, one you had of Everest open was super cool.
So how much longer until... This is my vision for the future, right? New cheap way of doing tourism is they'll have robots on wheels, like a little Segway with a camera, and then you can put on a VR helmet and you can just drive around these places.
I'd rather be there.
But it's expensive. Or if they get this stuff working nicely, you can just go
Google
like
it.
Yeah.
Go on holiday? Why?
Just Google it. Right from your house in number 1, 3rd Street, Johannesburg.
Flipping Google is going to do everything.
taking over.
Google's going to be the government.
Google will eat our souls.
Anyway, that's really cool. Brendan, do you want to end us off? Tell us about a new phone and a boneheaded decision that it's made. Well, not it, the company behind it.
No, I don't want to because it makes me sad. So.
You can tell them your clever headline.
That is my clever. It was clever, right?
Yeah, it was.
So Xiaomi has released announced the Mi 6, yes. which has Apple bottom jeans.
Yes.
Boots with the fur. No, I'm kidding. Basically, what Xiaomi has done is released the Mi 6, announced the Mi 6, and it doesn't have a 3.5mm headphone jack. Now, you'll remember that there was another phone that doesn't have a 3.5mm
company.
Yeah, lesser-known company by the name of Apple. I don't know if you've heard of them. Nah. They had a phone last year called the iPhone 7, and they removed the headphone jack from that phone. And surprise. They said that it was because it took courage to do it, or something along those lines. Okay. It took courage to remove...
Some other BS.
Alrighty, yeah. If you say so.
Some nonsense. I mean, yeah. So Xiaomi has now announced the Mi 6, and they have ditched the headphone jack as well, which is, I think, is terrible.
I knew this was... I agree, it's terrible.
Yeah.
I saw this coming. I remember we did a podcast when they...
Yeah, you did call it.
When we got the final note from Apple, and they're like, we're not going to have a jack. I said, even if this is a terrible idea, sooner or later, people are going to copy it because Apple, like it or not, is a trendsetter.
Yeah.
People are going to make their phones look and feel like iPhones.
Wasn't it rumored that Samsung was also going to do the same?
Yeah.
There was a rumor, but they eventually didn't. Ended
that,
up just keeping it.
That may have just been mean-spirited because people keep saying, oh, Samsung always copies Apple. So it's like...
Yeah.
Our phone won't have any ports.
So instead of a 3.5mm jack, you get a USB Type-C port, as is becoming the norm with smartphones released since, I think, the latter half of last year. I started seeing them more and more. It features the Qualcomm Snapdragon 835 chipset, which has AC Wi-Fi and LTE support and all those wonderful things. A really fast processor, and it has 6 gigs of RAM.
Nice.
6 gigs
it's
of RAM.
Almost as much as my home PC,
that's
my
huge.
Desktop.
That's
it
huge.
Is so much. And I actually really like that because I don't think there's such a thing as too much RAM.
Okay, so I remember.
But even if you're someone like me who doesn't really store a lot of things on their phone, it's still like.
Well, it's nice because it just speeds everything up. Yeah. There's always more resources.
Well, you say that, right? So. I had a Moto G, right?
Yeah.
Moto G 4G second generation that I had to import, which is a whole...
We're all on it. I found that 3 gigs is usually like the minimum to get really good performance.
Yeah.
Like...
Well, you say performance, do you mean in games? Do you mean in synthetic benchmarks?
I mean across a whole bunch of range of tasks.
Okay.
So like what I found is that the less RAM there is, the less ability you have to open a multitude of apps.
Yeah.
Then as soon as you have more than, say, like 10 apps open, you'll start to feel the phone slowing down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What I feel with like things like 6 gigs of RAM is that slowdown will come a lot later.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that the phone will never slow down.
Yeah, obviously.
I mean, that's rubbish. It will eventually slow down. But 6 gigs means that roof is a lot higher than with most phones.
Yeah.
So it's obviously you then got to take into account what speed that RAM is running at and... What sort of RAM it is to begin with.
Yeah.
But 6 gigs, I feel, is a really nice... Yeah. It's a really high roof that kind of stands you in good stead, especially if you're going to be streaming things in 4K and running...
If you're that kind of person who's doing that...
Running your hardcore games and all that sort of stuff.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying maybe also I'm a bit obsessive. Like, oh, I'm not using that app. I'm going to close it. I do know some people's like... How do you close an app? I've never done that before. What do you mean, close an app?
And then those are the same people that tell you how terrible their phone is, I suppose.
It's so slow. Yeah, so that might just be me. I'm just saying that's a lot of RAM. It's good. My home PC, like my desktop, is only 8. And now some games are coming out. It's like minimum 16 games.
Yeah.
Like, but that's fine. The whole reason I only bought 8 is that
I can upgrade
later.
Yeah.
And I got it in a single stick and I've only got 4 slots. So I can go up to 32 or 64 if I get it.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's just me. I think it's great. This jack thing is stupid, though.
It is really stupid. They also they've got a dual lens camera at the back, 12 megapixel dual lens camera. One is a wide angle lens and the other is a telescopic lens. So it will be able to get a better zoom. It's almost exactly like the iPhone's camera, if we're being honest, because they had a similar arrangement in the iPhone 7.
Yeah.
Prices, I expect to start at 2,499 yuan, which is equivalent to about 4,800 rand. Yeah, in the region.
Sounds right.
So when it lands here, I would expect it to be around the same price as the Mi 5 was at launch, which was 7,999.
Yeah.
We have contacted Xiaomi to find out if the phone is coming here to South Africa. They have told us that they're not, well, the distributor, we've contacted the Xiaomi distributor rather. Yeah. They said that they'll let us know as soon as they know. This was literally announced this morning.
Yeah.
So it is...
It's fresh.
It's fresh, fresh, fresh. The one thing that I don't like, and it's like Clinton says, the headphone jack removal is a really stupid thing.
Mm.
Especially in an Android phone.
Yeah.
Because Android is the most widely used operating system for smartphones.
In the world.
In the world. You are... Xiaomi's biggest markets are China and India.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so sure about China, but I know India, not everybody is able to afford a pair of Bluetooth earphones. Although maybe Xiaomi...
Oh, so they maybe, also come sold separately.
Well, there wasn't any mention of it. Yeah, they haven't mentioned it yet.
I was going to ask this because a big point of Apple getting rid of the jack
was that the AirPods.
They were introducing the AirPods and they're like, oh, pick this up too, more money for us.
Well, but they didn't announce anything like that, but I wouldn't, I mean, Xiaomi makes rice cookers and air purifiers.
Xiaomi makes everything.
So I'm pretty sure that at one point you're going to get Bluetooth earphones if they aren't already.
And hopefully well-priced ones.
And hopefully maybe if we're lucky, they bundle them in the box.
Yeah.
That would be really awesome.
That would go a long way to kind of...
So the Mi 6, it looks good on paper. It looks like it's going to be a really good phone. And hopefully if it's cheap, it'll be a really good phone that's cheap. But that 3.5mm jack removal, I just don't get it. I will never get it. I mean, like, I get it. You want to move forward. You want to be at the cutting edge of technology.
Yeah.
But a lot of your users still have little earbuds.
I mean, this isn't like... We're making a new set-top box, and we've got rid of the composite cables.
Yeah,
because it's like the composite cable is dead. The jack isn't.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, a composite cable. When last has anybody ever used it? Yeah. I mean, maybe sure if you have like a huge sound system.
No, like, flip. I dug up my old NES knockoff, and I wanted to play Mario on that. That was the last time I used it, like 2 years ago. But this isn't comparable, and I don't understand why. It's not a tech that's dead.
Yeah.
It may be old, but it's still being used.
Yeah.
That's like, it's USB, kind of.
Yeah.
It's like the USB of sound. We still use it, even though you can put sound over USB.
Anyway.
We like using that right now, this desk that we use to record the sound of USB.
USB to...
So we'll have to wait if we get that. We'll have to see if maybe, like, if this is a success, they move it to their other phones.
I hope not.
Yeah.
I really hope not. I don't want to see a Redmi that has no headphone jack. It'll make me sad. I'll cry. I really like Xiaomi, and moves like this are just things that alienate people. I'm not a fan. But yeah, so as soon as we have more info, we'll share that with our readers/listeners.
Yes. So everybody, talking about reading, if you want to read more about anything we've spoken about today, we'll have links to everything below our podcast. But that's going to call it for this, another short South African week. Next week is also another short South African week. And is the one after that as well? Is that the end of it?
No. There's another one. April. The first of the May.
The first of the May.
Is a public holiday.
May the May be with you.
So it's great, but it's also bad. I hope everybody has a good long weekends, plural. And
I love this time of year.
It's because it's your birthday, isn't it?
Love this month.
Apart from that, you get to like really chill out.
Where's the cake?
Yeah, where's the cake?
No, you guys are supposed to bring cake.
No.
Jeez.
When we were all working in the same office, you used to say, when it's your birthday, you have to bring cake.
I was going to say this. Every time someone's like, oh, it's my birthday next week, he's like, when are you bringing the cake? Flipping cake double standards. Okay, everybody, we will see you next week. From myself, from Brendan.
Cheerio.
And Lungi.
Bye.
From everybody at the office, we'll see you next week. Bye.
Sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.